Hello and welcome to People in Profit. I'm Charles Pellegrin, and this week we focus on the upcoming general elections in the United Kingdom. One of the central themes of this campaign has been the state of the country's National Health Service. Once a point of national pride, but in recent years a point of national frustration as patients face longer and longer wait times and bigger staff shortages. One recent investigation showed that as many as 19,000 people faced waiting times of 3 days over a one-year period. In response, both Conservatives and Labour are promising to increase the NHS's funding. On the trail, Tory Prime Minister Rishi Sunak said, "I'm not going to pretend it can be fixed overnight, but it can assure you that the NHS budget will continue to increase ahead of inflation in the next Parliament. It's already at record levels. We've got more doctors and nurses, and we're hiring more, and we're using new technology and new innovations to get you the healthcare that you need." Labour leader Keir Starmer, meanwhile, said, "We will put some immediate money into our public services. I ran a public service for 5 years. I believe in our public services, and I know they need to be properly funded. So we will put in money to the NHS straight away." But can the UK government, be it Conservative or Labour, afford to do this? A leading UK research institute says politicians are ignoring reality when it comes to the economy. The Institute for Fiscal Studies accused both major parties of hiding the need to significantly raise taxes or cut spending in coming years to tackle the country's growing deficit. Charlie James examines the findings of the IFS.
A stark warning for UK voters ahead of the July 4th election. The Institute for Fiscal Studies, an economic think tank, accusing the Conservative and Labour parties of a conspiracy of silence when it comes to tax and spending.
Regardless of who takes office following the general election, they might get lucky, but unless they get lucky, soon face a stark choice. Raise taxes by more than they've told us in their manifesto, or implement cuts to some areas of spending, or break their fiscal rules and allow debt to rise for longer.
The IFS says the lack of future planning from the main parties means the country will be voting in a knowledge vacuum. The think tank also says the largest of all public services, the National Health Service, will surely require more funding than pledged to avoid a crisis. Party leaders say the IFS is wrong and are promising tax cuts and growth.
We have a fully costed manifesto which can deliver tax cuts for people at every stage in their lives, and that is largely funded by making sure that we can find some savings in the growth of the welfare budget, because it's been growing at unsustainable levels since the pandemic.
I don't accept the proposition that the economy cannot be better than it is now, and a lot of the forecasts are on the basis that we can't improve. I don't accept that defeatism.
Both Labour and the Tories have ruled out raising major taxes on workers and businesses. They are pinning their hopes on an improving economy to fulfill their promises.
But is there another way to look at UK health policy than simply through the prism of the NHS? One business-led social organisation in the UK, Business for Health, advocates for stronger investments in preventative health, especially in the workplace. An effort that could end up reducing the stress put on the National Health Service. Its founder and CEO, Tina Woods, joins us now. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
First off, just to set the stage here, what exactly does preventative health in the workplace look like?
Well, in the UK and certainly in other countries like the US, we have a sick care model. So we treat people when they're sick. And really, preventative health is about the tools and the policies to keep people healthy and well for as long as possible, predicting and preventing diseases as early as possible so that you can keep people out of hospitals and avoiding the care that they and the treatments that they need from doctors. And of course, businesses and employers have a huge role to play in this.
And who's responsible for this? Who is it? Is it the state? Is it the government? Is it both? How does that work in terms of stepping up to the plate?
Well, so I would argue, especially if we're trying to create a prevention society and economy, which has started to enter the lexicon of debate, we actually need a multi-stakeholder, long-term system change approach, which is basically not being taken and has been ignored by all political parties for a very long time. So we do need a very, very different radical approach, which is actually cross-party approach, mobilizing all key stakeholders, including the role of business, you know, who have multiple roles to play as employers, as producers and marketeers of products and services, and of course, as investors. I mean, we have investors investing in climate. Well, the solutions for our health also are solutions, and the root causes for health are linked to the climate change crisis. So the investor community has a huge role to play as well.
So long-term sickness is a real issue in the UK. Over 2.8 million people affected by this to the extent that they can't work. What are the consequences of this for the economy?
Well, I mean, we've got a growing number of people who cannot work because of long-term sickness. So the numbers keep on creeping up. And the economic hit is, you know, depending on who you speak to, has been estimated to be anywhere from 150 to 180 billion pounds a year on the UK economy. And so, I mean, what we have is this perverse situation where we have fewer and fewer people able to work who are relying on the benefits. So our welfare bill is going up. We've got less tax receipts, which we need because our economy is in such dire straits. And we have a growing skill shortage because we have fewer and fewer people able to work. And of course, it's also driving and keeping our productivity levels much lower than they need to be. So the whole, you know, cumulative effect on our economy is very, very stark and is only getting worse.
You often point to other countries in Europe, notably, as examples to follow, notably Denmark. What are they doing right?
Well, there's a few things. I mean, I think Denmark, they have a more equal society. And I think if we're talking about prevention, we have to talk about the wider determinants of our health that are responsible for our health. And actually, that is about the root causes, which are linked to, you know, our education, our income levels, our sort of wider environments. And of course, Denmark has a tax and redistribution system that creates a more equal society. So the health inequalities, which are dragging, you know, the UK economy down, are not nearly as bad as they are in the Nordic countries. And of course, they do invest more in they have more doctors and nurses, you know, twice as many doctors and nurses as we have in the UK. And of course, they also have 50% more beds. So their system is working. Our system in the UK is unsustainable and it is not working because of all the issues that we know about, which are not being addressed from a long-term system change perspective. And the final thing is that the Nordic countries, they tend to have a more health and well-being culture, but they also have much better digitized health records. So the data and the sharing of data is much better than it is in the UK.
There's another aspect here as well. You often point to sick pay in the UK being among the worst in Europe. Tell us more about that.
Well, so there's been a huge focus on what we call safe sick pay, because we do not have a good sick pay policy in the UK, and this hits the most vulnerable workers the hardest, who can't actually afford to spend 3 days out of work before being eligible for a very low sick pay amount that we currently are getting. So they often keep on going to work when they are very ill, and of course that delays their recovery time. So it's a very, very bad system at the moment, which is very much at the heart of some of the reform discussions taking place and hitting the debate.
So what's your assessment of both positions, whether it's Labour or the Tories here, both vowing to save the NHS?
Well, so what we see, and of course we have the two major parties, but actually what we're seeing is a lot of the smaller political parties having quite a voice in this debate, because really what separates the Labour and Conservative pledges made in health are actually not that different. And so there's not that much of a gap. And they all talk about it in terms of a very, very narrow approach of fixing the NHS, when we know that fixing the health of the nation is so much broader than that and is not down to the NHS, which, let's remember, the NHS, you know, the hospitals and the care that we receive by our doctors, is a small proportion of our health, of the determinants of our health. Yet we have this continuing sort of preoccupation only on the NHS, which is also linked to the cultural obsession that we have with the NHS. Although this is starting to break down because it is not working. It is not working despite getting more and more and more percentage of government spending. The outcomes and the health outcomes are getting less. So the system is not working. I think the general public realize this is happening, but they are not convinced at all by what they're hearing from any of the government manifesto pledges.
And what do you make of the conclusion of the Institute for Fiscal Studies that the emphasis has to be on reducing the deficit? Will there be room for investment in preventative health?
Well, so this is the problem. So the and certainly what has been voiced very loudly and clearly is that none of the political parties, and certainly not Labour or the Conservatives, have been honest about where they're going to actually find the money, whether through tax cut, whether through tax cuts or through major spending policies. What we've been hearing are very, very, very small policy proposals that are sort of in the billions. When we're talking a lot more money that is needed, A, to even keep the NHS ticking along as it is, let alone fix it. And actually, what is really, really missing from the debate is health is absolutely central to the wider economic growth potential and prosperity that we desperately need. But that takes a long-term view, and it absolutely must go into the preventative space. We have to stop the demand that is on our NHS and care system down to our poor health. We're very chronically ill as a population. And we also have an aging demographic that is, again, driving the demand with many, many older people with multi-morbid conditions. So we have a system that is not sustainable. And the pledges made by the major political parties will not make this a sustainable system. We need a root and branch, long-term systemic view on this, but none of the parties have even gone. Prevention is absent from the manifestos that have been presented to us.
And there is another force to be reckoned with here, Nigel Farage's Reform UK. They're promising to reform the NHS with tax rebates, improving efficiency, and also want to start an inquiry on vaccine deaths. What do you make of their health policy? They could actually be the opposition after the election.
Yes, I mean, you're absolutely right. They're a real force now to be reckoned with. And I think the reason for that is that he is prepared to challenge our prevailing thinking about what is needed to address our health crisis. He wants to set out an extra $17 billion a year for the NHS, which is far higher than any of the other political parties. He thinks we should adopt a model very similar to what is currently the case in France, you know, where you have an insurance based model that is in existence. So, you know, he's put forward some interesting proposals.
Tina Woods, you are the founder and CEO of Business for Health. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's all for this week. If you'd like to watch some of our previous editions, you can check out our website or app or even the podcast platform of your choice by searching for People and Profit. In the meantime, thank you for watching and stay tuned.